Still looking for some things maybe for Wednesday night. Keep that in prayer that maybe we could do some things for Wednesday night service that would encourage more people to come. Tonight in Jonah chapter 2, last week we looked at the summation of chapter 1. Tonight we're going to do the same thing with chapter 2. I just feel like this is the way Lord wants us to do it. There's a lot of different ways you could outline the book of Jonah, you know, and I'm not going to go through all those to tire you, but I want to read this whole chapter tonight, and then we're going to talk about a fishy prayer, okay? Because he's in the prayer, but I want you to read it with me. In verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for another opportunity, Lord. I pray tonight that we would consider maybe that time in our life or in someone in their mind, maybe they're there tonight, that deep, dark chasm of even disobedience, or maybe it's just through a tough trial. Lord, I just want to share with people that even when our prayers are coming from a far distance and we feel like we are so far down, below, overcome, overwhelmed, and so separated from God, He hears our prayer. And I think that's important for us to remember tonight. I pray for those that may have a Jonah moment in their life. It doesn't always have to be the strictest of disobedience. It could be the mild case. But I just pray you'll have your will and way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah. Last week we've seen his disobedience. And no matter how you may consider how you might correct a child, discipline a child, however you want to look at it, God has a way for each one of us that may be different. And we can see it throughout the scriptures if we look for it. And you know, I think of David, a man after God's own heart. He commits adultery with Bathsheba, and yes, it was heinous. It was bad. He had her husband murdered. I understand that. And David seemed to pay a very heavy price for it. But if you read and study the life of David, even after that, he regained that, if you will, in Psalm 51, where he said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation," God's salvation. So there is redemption no matter what the sin is. And as long as I'm preaching and of my right mind, I will always believe, no matter who it is, what they've done, there's always the hope for redemption. And no matter who you may come in contact or what you feel like you've done, no matter what your opinion is of God, He's always there. He's always wanting to turn things around. He's always wanting us to have hope in Him. And hope in God is not, oh my gosh, I finally made it through this. He's wanting to give us even more than that. He's wanting, I believe, and y'all may think y'all think that God wants us to be sad and unhappy all the time? I mean, if you think about the God in heaven, He restores us, and we just come to church and we're like, well, we're here. I mean, come on, folks. Do you think that's really what God wants? It's not. And I'm telling you, if you have a hard time enjoying church or something, look farther, look deeper, look more closely. There's more to it than that. I've in the last couple of weeks, I've found myself having to go through this same kind of little scenario in my mind that, you know, yeah, it's I don't know how to word this, but you know, I would, if I had my way, I would love to see like 30 people every week get saved and about 15 or 20 people rededicate their life, just every week. Every week. I mean, that's a good plan. But at Bradley's, that's not going to happen every week. And we may go for weeks and no one even come to the altar voice of movement of God. And as your pastor, I'm just here to tell you, sometimes that's hard for me to handle. Because that's my goal, is to see people get saved and see people rededicate their life. But I had to remind myself, it's not up to me. And I got to remember that God's got to do the work. And I need to be happy about it. So my problem is sometimes I see what I would like to desire not happening. So then I go, gosh, wonder what's wrong. Wonder, oh, poor pitiful me. I get the Eeyore syndrome. How many of y'all watch Winnie the Pooh? Oh, bother, don't worry about me. Nobody cares about me, Eeyore. I watched that with my kids, and I always loved Eeyore. I mean, it's like they would finally get over around it. What about you, Eeyore? Oh, bother, don't worry about me. But that's not the Christian life. That's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like who? T-I-double-G-R, that's right. Looking to bounce on somebody. I mean, poor old rabbit's over there working on his carrots. And then ding, ding, ding. And all of a sudden, Tigger hits him and they roll. And he goes, how you doing there, Mr. Rabbit? Or whatever his name was. I just love that part. The Christian life is to be enjoyed, I believe. Now, there are going to be times when we are disobedient like God, like Jonah. And we cry out to God, but I'm here to tell you, I'm here to remind you, and no matter how far you went from Him, even if you bought a ticket to go to the opposite direction, if you cry out to Him, He is there. And we have a hard time getting the attitude. The part I want to get to you tonight, sometimes we get the attitude that, oh, we messed up so bad, God's going to be disappointed in us. If we come to Him honestly, He will not. If we honestly say, God, I have messed this up, I have destroyed this, if you'll just submit and surrender to Him, He will start fixing it in your life. Now, we're frail, imperfect human beings. So we're not going to have every story in our life is not going to be a Picasso of wonderfulness. But we got a wonderful God behind us. If we keep going in the direction that He wants us to go, we'll work it out. to His honor and His glory. And that should be our goal. That should be our primary goal. It says here in verse 1 that Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of, Lord his God, out of the belly, fish's belly. Y'all think when Jonah got swallowed that the prayer meeting got serious all of a sudden? I mean, you know, Jonah was a prophet and, you know, he had heard from God and he's like, you know, just throw me out of the boat, boys. That'll stop your storm. But I'm pretty sure, Brother Ronnie, he wasn't expecting a big fish to swallow him. But I'm betting you, Kaylee, when that big fish swallowed him and he went down, Jonah's like, dear Lord. And I mean, I bet you the repentance and the humility was real. I mean, prayer meeting got serious that night. And that's the same thing for us. A lot of times a sickness or something in our life, well, we'll get serious with God just like that. But we shouldn't be, shouldn't take that all the time, should it? You really shouldn't. Like I say, God hears our prayers. God heard Jonah's prayer in Isaiah 5, verse 23. He says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as fire devoureth the stubble and flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness and their bloom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Here's my verse. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and he has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. Now, if we didn't have the rest of this verse, this would not be a good verse. But look, he says, for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. I mean, you read through the Old Testament, you're going to see some crazy, mixed up, messed up people. I mean, you just are. Starting with Jacob, starting with Abraham. I mean, you go back and go, starting with Noah. Noah builds the ark, saves the family, gets out, and the first thing that Noah does is what? Gets drunk. And one of his boys messes up, and that's your kinfolk, by the way. I heard a preacher say this week, I think Adrian Rogers said he looked his genealogy back, said he went back to a farmer and a drunken sailor. And the drunken sailor was Noah. That's our genealogy, folks. And we look at all this stuff, but God always has his hands out there saying, hey, I'll help you up. Remember Peter? Lord, if it's you walking on the water, bid me to come. I'm coming. I want to do this spiritual thing here. I want to get out there on the water. He gets out there and he sees the wind and stuff and starts sinking. And Peter says, help me, and Jesus. So whether it's a good, bad, whatever you're doing, God's always ready to lift us up. Remember what David said? He lifted me up out of the what? The miry clay. Put me on the solid rock. So you can backslide, you can be disobedient, but when you come to your place of prayer, God will hear. Look in verse 2, he says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You know, it's sweet to know that God hears your voice, but you know what? And if you've been where many Christians, and I've been a time or two, there's been times when you prayed, you're just not sure that God heard your prayer. But I'm here to tell you that he always hears your prayer. We have this, we've heard people say that God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. He won't listen to someone that's prideful, someone that is blatantly sinning going forward. But if you're a sinner looking to repent, if you're a sinner that's lost his way, he will re-guide you and he will hear your prayer. I promise you that. Here's a Jonah. I mean, I won't go through all of it because last week we seen he was not headed in the right direction. Got thrown overboard, got swallowed by the whale, starts praying, and then he gets here. In 1 Timothy 1:15, one of my favorite, and I think that all of us would have to agree, we have an affinity or a likeliness of Paul. And I think the closer that Paul got to the Lord, the greater he seen his sin. You say, that doesn't make sense. The more holy we see God, the more we see that we're flawed. That makes sense? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now y'all would have to agree with me that if you were standing next to the Apostle Paul in judgment, you would probably go, boy, this is not going to look good for me, because you feel like Paul's started all these churches, led all these people to the Lord, and I'm standing there next to him, I'm going, geez, could I be standing next to somebody else going through this line here? This is the wrong person. Paul seen himself as the chief of sinners. And by Jonah's account here, he felt like he was climbing the ladder to the worst, Brother Bill. Second thing tonight, let's think about the despair of Jonah's prayer. Look at verse 3. Now, we can make the thought process, I think I mentioned it to you last week. Some people think that Jonah actually died in the fish's belly. I technically don't believe that. I believe it's with the wording and stuff that you have here. If you want to believe that, you're okay. I'm just telling you, with some of the wording in here, you're okay. But I'm just here to tell you, there is one thing that Jonah has, and we'll talk about it in just a minute, that is ultra important to his whole book. But here it says in verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep. The depth and the despair of Jonah's feeling at this point. Now think about this. Jonah didn't write this while he was in the fish. He wrote this after he got out of the fish. So whatever you're going through tonight in your life you have went through, you're praying at that point, and then when you look back, you can see how deep and how dark and how much despair you were in, and then you remember that God did hear your prayer. In verse number 6, he says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. There's that wording there, from corruption. Oh, Lord my God. Think about this. The digestive chemicals that would have been in a fish or a whale would have bleached probably Jonah's face. Probably in 3 days would have started to weaken his clothes, maybe causing holes and stuff. When he got vomited up out of the fish's belly onto dry land, he would have been one weird-looking dude. Enough to where people would listen to the preacher finally, right? I mean, I thought bald-headed would work, but it just, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. But Jonah is looking back at this going, man, I was in a bad place. Think about being in a whale or in a fish. I'm just going to go with whale because Jesus says whale later on. Think of how deep that well could have went down and how much pressure Jonah would have felt. Water pressure. Think about seeing all those squid or whatever kind of fish it is that that fish had ate. Seeing all that stuff going on. Now, he's not sitting down there, folks, with a campfire going, let's cook some fish and have some supper. He's not warming his hands, Brother Bill, in the fire in the belly of the whale. He is in a deep place. He's in a bad place. He is feeling like he's dead. And again, if you want to believe that he was dead in there, you can, but I don't think he was. Look at verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. He even felt so much despair that he didn't think that God could even see him. That's why I say he's looking back at this thing after he had gotten out of the well of the belly of the whale. Verse 5, he talks about the overwhelming part of it. Look, the waters come past me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds are wrapped around my head. Think about the seaweed and stuff that he was having to deal with. He's not in control of his motions. I'm sure the fish is doing this and they're sloshing and stuff going around. He's in a mess. He's looking at this going, you know what? I'm in trouble. And then he says in verse number 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. Again, a lot of us can relate to this as far as a tough situation that we went through. We can pray in the midst of our trouble, but a lot of times it's after the situation is kind of under control or kind of got, if you will, in our rearview mirror that we look back and see how good God is. Because the devil would like nothing better than for us to believe that God's not there, that God will not help us, and that God has isolated us and has left us alone and has disassociated himself from us, and that nothing could be farther from the truth. This is a somber, soul-searching thought process that we're going through here tonight in Jonah. And you know what? I would like to think that in chapter 4 that he would be a little bit more grateful, but he's not. And we'll cover that in a couple of weeks. But you know, it's pretty odd that a man like Jonah would go through something like he's went through. And then in chapter 4, after God uses him in a miraculous way, then he turns on God again. But you know what? It probably is very capable of happening with us, and I'd say it does. Remember, Jonah is not, in chapter 4, Jonah is not on the loudspeaker going, you people in Nineveh, I'm mad at God. This is something he wrote for us to have accounted for us to know what's going on in our mind and heart. This is a conversation between him and God. When he was in the fish's belly, they didn't have that on the Israeli news account that prophet's missing, probably in the belly of the whale. They didn't have that. This was what was going on in his mind and his heart. And then we see in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. See, Jonah got to the point where finally he is seeing that, you know what, it's better to be in the will of God and have to go through some hardships and some struggles than it is to be outside and be left without defense from God. And you've heard me tell the story of Martha Hawkins when she was on a mission trip and they were waiting at the border in a bus to go to a village, and there was a bus in front of them, and they didn't have to wait at the the border very long. They got in and they had to sit there for 2 and 3 and 4 hours. I don't know how long it was. And everybody in the boat was going, or in the bus was going, man, why couldn't we have got through like that bus? And they finally got through, and when they got down that road, they seen smoke up ahead. And the Muslims or whoever had attacked that bus. I mean, God was watching out after them. It could have been vice versa. And then they realized why they had to sit there and wait. And look, it could have happened the opposite. It could have been them that suffered. I'm not saying that. But I'm just here to tell you, we just got to trust God. We got to know that He's in control of everything. Last point this evening. In chapter 1, verse 17, got to kind of look back at this and say, now the Lord hath prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That is Jonah's prophetic message to us today. That's his prophecy. If you look in Matthew chapter 12, that's his prophecy, and Jesus recounts it for us. And I don't think someone can look through here, through the scriptures, and find it, and maybe I'm not aware of it, but I do not think that anywhere else in the scriptures, other than Jonah and other than Christ recounting it, will you find specifically it saying that someone was in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights as prophecy speaking about Jesus being in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. You will see the 3 days or 3 nights as part of a testing, but not as far as associated with prophecy. Look at verse 38, Matthew 12. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, would we see a sign from thee? But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign be given but... Now this is the sign. Jesus said, here's your sign of the prophet Jonas. And he's talking about Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now we could break that verse 41 apart and really have some fun with that, because that tells me a lot. That tells me that those people in Nineveh were better than those, or they were more righteous than those Pharisees that rejected Jesus Christ there that he was talking with. And they probably looked a lot more church-like than the people in Nineveh. So there's your prophecy. There's the important part of it. And again, back up there to verse 2. The last point, the redemption of Jonah's prayer. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah is recounting this prayer, and he is understanding that though he was in these verses here, 3, 4, 5, and 6, he's accounting or recounting the depth or the despair of his situation. He also knows that this is where he began to look back to God. This is where he says he looks back to thy holy temple. And he uses that word a couple of times. In verse 7, at the end of that, he says, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Now, Jonah's book was written somewhere about 850 B.C. It was before the northern kingdom went into captivity, and it was before Nahum and some other prophets prophesied against Nineveh the same way. Now, Nineveh repented of their sins when Jonah gave them the message. But not future prophecies after that or messages. So here we have a disobedient prophet or messenger that God swallows, has a fish swallow. Then he goes and has a great revival. Then he gets angry. Brother B, I would have rather have used Nahum because he seemed like a much better guy. But Nahum said kind of the same thing. He said, hey, you repent or God's going to judge you. And God, they didn't repent and God judged them. I think Jonah would have been happy if that's the way it would have happened. Now again, we're not getting into that part of it, but I just want to tell you that Jonah gets totally redeemed in this thing. He gets totally brought back. He states again his intentions there in verse 4, and he is repentive, and he is coming back to God. Look at verse number 9. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. You made a vow to God that you haven't owned up to. You ever said, God, I'm going to be a better, and you name it. Maybe I'm going to pray more earnestly for the lost. Maybe I'm going to give better. Maybe I'm going to be more faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Have you kept those vows? You ever wonder if that's maybe why God keeps you in a dark, despair type of condition in your life? I can't say that that's what it is or isn't. I can't. But I'm just here to tell you, we're talking about a disobedient prophet, and we're talking about the feelings that he has, and we're talking about the way that he come back. And remember what it says in Romans 8:28, right? I work all things, what? Together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say that God will work all things out for good for those that just are his children. I think that we have the Walt Disney syndrome when it comes to the Christian life. We think that we're watching a Walt Disney movie and at the end everything is just going to fold together like cards and we're going to walk out with Cinderella through the door and everybody's going to live happily ever after. It's not going to be the case, folks. Not going to be the case. Now, you may be one of those people that think that, you know what? I think I can make it. I think that God's going to leave me alone. And I want to tell you that you can read the Bible and you can say, you know what, I haven't made that much wrong. But you read where people have done things that you've done. And I don't know what you've done. But you read things in there that people have done. You see what God does to them. And if you think he won't do that to you or have you some consequences that are similar, you're fooling yourself. I'm fooling myself. Because God always judges sin. He's going to judge this, but he's always redemptive too. Always. And Jonah says, hey, look, I'm going to sacrifice unto thee with the voice. In other words, he's going to praise God, and he's going to pay God with what he has already vowed to do. I believe that somewhere in chapter 1, he said, God, I'll go. I think he was that servant that Jesus was talking about in the New Testament, that he asked him to go into the field and he said, I will, and he didn't go, and then later repented and went. And Jesus said, that's the one that was obedient. He says there in verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Remember who restores and who redeems. Jonah didn't pray the prayer and then climb and walk out of the fish. He repented and God prepared or spoke to the fish and put Jonah in the place that he desired. Again, I said last week, One of the reasons why I think Jonah didn't want to go, he didn't want to have to do the 500 or 750 mile travel to Nineveh. I don't think he wanted to do that. Now, I do think that he thought that they were heathens, ungodly people, and they were mean and wretched. I believe all that. But I also believe he just didn't want to go. I can relate. There's sometimes when there's a trip ahead of me and somebody goes, "You ready to go?" And I'm like, if I was going to be honest, I would say, nope, I don't want to go. It may just be an hour drive to Lexington or whatever. But look here, folks. Jonah was put in the position at this point, at the end of our lesson here tonight, he's put in the position to be used of God. A couple of verses and we'll close. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 6. Bible says, "I hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord." That word vanities, by the way, is emptiness. If you're here today and you're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in emptiness. In 2 Kings 17, another verse that kind of speaks along this same line, 17, verse 15. A long verse. "And they rejected his statutes and his covenant, and he made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them." And when I read those verses, I want you to remember the verse that we led off with in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 25. I want you to remember, "For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Don't forget, folks, God is always looking to reach towards us. God is always looking to help us, no matter what we've done, no matter how we feel. It doesn't matter about that. And God wants us to experience the joy of forgiveness, the joy of redemption, the joy of all these things that we read about in the Bible. They're not a pie in the sky dream. It's not. It's reality. So if you're unhappy, you're sad, there's a reason why God is putting that feeling. He's saying, look, I can bring about rest about that situation. No matter who you are, or what you are, or what you've been through. Let's all stand. We ask Matthew and Miss Lisa and Miss Kaylee to come. We'll sing one verse of an invitation. Consider again. None of us have been called to Nineveh, but we've all been called to service with God. I know we have in some realm or some fashion. So help us as we look at our life to think about some of the depths that we have to go through. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for, I even thank you for Jonah. He probably shouldn't be a role model for us, but he should be a model for us to see some things that we should do differently. But I believe his prayer here in chapter 2 shows a humble man, a man that was speaking truthfully and was truly seeking God. And I think he found him because God heard his prayer. And I think that God did a great work in his life just in this prayer. So I pray for those that are here tonight, Lord, if they have a need, pray that they would reach out to you because you're reaching out to them already. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.